Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're joined today for our first live interview. We have Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor, who is also the social science candidate for the upcoming state election campaign about the rise of Hanson. Sue is also part of a Broadmeadows-based anti-racism rally that's been organised for July 25th in Broadmeadows. So good morning, Sue.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Sue.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for joining us bright and early. Yeah, it's lovely to have you on the show, of course. And we've actually just been talking about, the rise of the far right and just how we really need to organise and resist and fight back. What are your comments on the rise of One Nation and why it represents a dangerous shift in right-wing politics?
Well, I think there has been a lot of commentary, a lot which is true and a lot and some which is not really true. But I think rather than going over stuff that people have already heard, I think it is a very dangerous shift because it's not just One Nation itself. It is trying to drive all politics to the right and take back gains which we have won over decades, which working class people have won, whether it be around workers' rights, around environmental issues, climate issues, or whether it be around anti-racism, women's rights, trans rights. You know, like there's the whole of rights which we have won over the years. And they might not be, we might not have won everything we want to win or need to win for true human liberation, but we have won certain rights. And the whole development of Pauline Hanson's One Nation and this whole shift of support towards Pauline Hanson's One Nation and other parts of the far right means that it's an attempt to roll back all of those gains that we've won. And you can sort of see that with Pauline Hanson's monoculture comments. That's really what she wants to do. She wants to roll back all anti-racism gains that we've won in the past. So it is really dangerous for us, and we do need to organise. But I also think we've got to separate out the different parts of the support that's gathering behind One Nation, because they're clearly the solid, racist, hardline, right-wing, you know, Pauline Hanson supporters, but they're also more recent people who've been moving towards supporting One Nation. And I think there is an element of generally being pissed off and the opinion, seeing One Nation rise in the opinion polls makes it more acceptable to say that you're voting One Nation or leaning towards voting One Nation and holding your nose and pretending that you don't support the other elements of One Nation, but you've got a particular reason why you're supporting One Nation. And I actually do think we have to, the left and progressive movement does have to work to peel people away from supporting One Nation. And I know lots of people are having discussions, arguments with family members and workmates who might be starting to go towards the One Nation camp. And this isn't just really Aussie, Anglo people moving towards One Nation. It also includes a lot of migrants as well. And it might be, migrants who've got a very right-wing outlook, or it might be migrants who think, oh, I'm one of the good migrants because I'm not brown or I'm not Muslim or I don't receive any Centrelink benefits or, whatever the reason is. And also some of those people may not even fully recognise, if they're newer migrants, may not even fully recognise all of what One Nation stands for.
Yeah. So, Sue, yeah. I want to kind of jump in on that, because there's kind of a few points there that I kind of want to unpack, because I think one of the kind of important things in terms of this, about how One Nation has kind of been campaigning on this kind of racist agenda. So to kind of summarise, you know, there's this whole pushback against First Nations rights, you know. Every One Nation candidate I've heard has a consistently anti-First Nations viewpoint, you know, going down to the fact that they don't agree with the concept of acknowledgement of countries, claiming it's divisive. There's obviously the Islamophobic element. One of the more powerful kind of arguments that's kind of seeped into the consciousness, and I think, you know, there are even migrants who are falling in for this argument, especially. But there's this whole question around immigration and housing. And I kind of want to hear your kind of comments on that how we counter these arguments around immigration and housing, because it's been so normalised that it's almost become like common sense. Like, for example, I mean, I was looking at Reddit the other day and there was like a big discussion about immigration and housing and, you know, a lot of people sort of jumping in on this argument that, you know, we have to slow down immigration so we can fix the housing market. And, you know, want to kind of hear your comments as well about how the major parties have actually enabled this.
Well, I think the major parties have enabled this by saying that the only reason there's housing crisis is because there's a lack of housing supply and we're not building enough housing, and they don't want to look at the marketisation of housing. And, you know, that's really the central thing. So a lot of people don't understand why the housing crisis exists. And so it does look sensible to people to think that, oh, more people are coming to Australia, therefore there's not enough houses for them all. It does look like that when there's nothing like that at all. And this is an argument which has been used more in the past around jobs and migration. People used to say, oh, well, it's because of migrants coming to Australia that there's unemployment at times when there's been high unemployment in Australia. But actually, no, that's not the reason why unemployment exists. It's to do with how capitalism works. And I think the housing issue is exactly the same. Now, I think there are a lot more people now who are aware of the fact that there are all these vacant dwellings. Something like 10% of dwellings are vacant in Australia, in Victoria, and because there have been these public housing campaigns. But I think there's also a lack of experience with public housing amongst working class people, because governments have been dismantling public and demolishing public housing, selling it off, not building it, only focused on the market. And so I think for a lot of people, it does look as if housing is the cause. Lack of housing is a result of migration, when it's nothing of the kind. And even some practices or lifestyle changes some people have had since COVID have also reduced housing, such as, you know, a lot of people do work from home now, or at least part of the time. That might mean some bedrooms that might have once been rented out to people are not rented out to people now. The whole advent of Airbnb has taken rental housing, like long-term rentals, out of the market. And so that means, you know, people in a lot of areas, especially areas where there's a lot of tourists, don't have access to long-term rental housing. And once upon a time, governments built public housing in rural areas to make sure that workers had places to live. They don't do that anymore, or it's very, very little, so little that it's not enough to solve anything. And then, of course, a lot of people just don't have the experience of public housing. There is an answer to this for people who are prepared to listen, and that is we had the COVID experiment. Well, I mean, COVID wasn't an experiment, but COVID meant there was a big housing experiment in Australia and in other countries because temporary migrants were sent home, international students had to go home, tourists weren't able to come here, Australians who were living overseas weren't allowed to come back to Australia. So we had a population decrease, but housing never went down in cost substantially. There was still people sleeping rough. There were still people who were homeless. There were still people who couldn't afford housing because it's not migration that's causing or lack of supply that's causing the issue. It's how housing is distributed through the market and developers trying to deliberately drive up the cost of housing so they can make a buck, and governments refusing to do anything about that.
Yeah, 100%. So, and not just developers, but everyone involved with it. It's real estate, like the entire thing is based on a market. And I was reading recently how banks on average make $200,000 in profit just off interest from each home loan in Australia. So that's just disgusting. Like, no wonder we can't, no wonder people can't afford housing. Like, and it has nothing to, like you said, it has nothing to do with migration. And I guess, like, I'm just sort of thinking in terms of how we respond to people when they're making that argument. Like, a question would be, well, if we stop migration tomorrow, would you be able to afford your rent? Would you be able to afford your mortgage? And the answer is no, not without, like, the interventions that we actually need. And it has nothing to do with migration. It has to do with regulation and moving away from a market model. I was just really curious about your perspective on how you think we can fight back against a right-wing shift in politics, and how can we resist One Nation?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of different things we have to do, and we do have to resist this push because I think people coming out and showing they disagree will have an impact on some people who are just very loose supporters or just flirting with the idea of supporting One Nation. And I think there's probably a few things we need to do. I mean, obviously, we do need to get some facts out there through alternative media like Green Left Radio, 3CR, Green Left Media and other left and progressive sources of information. But also we do need to come together and resist. And I do think it is good to do counter rallies like was organised in Mooney Ponds the other week when Pauline Hanson comes to town for a fundraiser, et cetera. But I also think that's not sufficient by itself because you close down a One Nation fundraiser, but the thing is Pauline Hanson's in people's heads, or some people's heads, not everyone's heads, of course. So we need to do the counter rallies. We need to do some general rallies against racism like we're planning in Broadmeadows, in different communities and in the city. And once upon a time, like a long time ago, I think it might have been 1998, when Pauline Hanson was doing a barnstorming tour around the country, Trades Hall in Melbourne organised a massive rally against One Nation. Now, politics was a bit soft. I've forgotten the exact theme of the rally, but it was clearly against racism and One Nation, even though it was a bit on the soft side, the politics. But, you know, Trades Hall is very different now. Is much more of an electoral machine for Labor. In reality, that's what they should be doing, not just marginal seat campaigning for Labor. But we also need to be organising around the issues that are agitating and affecting people. I mean, that is another way of combating One Nation ideas, because people need to be organised. Because often it's through being organised around issues that people start to focus on who's the real enemy, And the real enemy is not migrants, not First Nations people. It is the capitalists, the developers, the real estate industry, the banks, and the capitalist politicians who are trying to deny us housing by forcing us to rely purely on the market and other things like that. It's also important to do what we can to build the union movement or rebuild the union movement or get sparking workers' rights activity in our workplaces, in our unions and so forth as well. And I think the decline in unions as a result of all of these outrageous anti-union laws that are still on the books also makes it harder for people to have contact with unions, let alone contact with good unions or campaigning unions. And people can't see what the cause of the problem is, especially when you don't see strong union campaigns and so forth. And so all of those things are things that we need to do. And some people are not prepared to listen to arguments. They've got just an emotional feeling like all the politicians are fucked, but One Nation, Pauline Hanson, is somehow honest or anti-establishment. We have to also try and debunk that idea that One Nation is anti-establishment.
Yep.
They're establishment as they come. They've got all the billionaires supporting them.
Yeah. So, Sue, we got to wrap up, actually, into the kind of because we've got another interview coming up soon. So, Connie, give us quickly about the upcoming forum on Tuesday, the 30th of June, organised by Socialist Alliance, and the anti-racism rally you are part of organising on Saturday, July 25th.
Well, coming up this coming Tuesday at 6:30 at the Resistance Centre in Swanston Street, Melbourne, 407 Swanston Street, we've got a public meeting on resisting Pauline Hanson and the right, and we've got Giselle Hanna, who's State Secretary of the CPSU, comes from a rank-and-file group in the union originally and has written a big statement against One Nation on the CPSU social media channels. We've got Deepak Joffe, who is going to be speaking, and he's from Hindus for Human Rights and has been campaigning against racism within the Indian community because there's a racist government in India. But he's also got an interest in fighting against One Nation and the far right in Australia as well, and myself speaking, and we are likely to have a fourth speaker as well. So that will be specifically focusing on trying to build resistance against the far right. And then the second thing is we've got this anti-racism rally in Broadmeadows on Saturday, the 25th of July, and the main theme of the rally is Unite Against Racism, Migrants Are Welcome, and it will be in front of Broadmeadows Town Hall at 2 p.m. If you're part of a group that would like to endorse the rally, please let us know. You can contact Green Left Radio and message can come through to let them know that you're part of a community group that would like to endorse the rally, because we really do want it to be broadly supported, both by people in the region of Broadmeadows, Craigieburn, Mirrabeck, etc., but also well beyond there. We want to try and make it a big rally, and so we want people from outside the area. It will protest in front of Broadmeadows Town Hall, and then there'll be a march.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Sue. And we'll advertise the details for all those events when we get to the Green Left activist calendar again. Thank you very much for being on our program. I think, it's very important to have these conversations, especially in light of the rising support for One Nation. You know, 3CR will be at the forefront of supporting any resistance to Hanson's, you know, pro-billionaire, racist kind of politics, and you know, I think we need the broadest possible movement to push back against it. So thank you very much, Sue, for being on our program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.